Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up with shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, that's right. You are rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are in the building. Got David James over there making it happen. I tell you, this is a great time of the year. One of the most wonderful times of the year, right? The season opener is upon us. Week one, Titans and Saints. We're going to kick off our ESPN NFL Nation reporter series. Each week, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring you one of my compadres covering the team that your Titans are facing. And this week is going to be Kat Terrell, who covers the Saints. We'll dive into a lot with her. She has a lot of stuff up there on the ESPN.com Saints page, so make sure you check that out. We got Run TMC with Chris Sanders. Oh, Orlando Woolwich looking fool. We'll get into it with him. But, you know, first things first, I want to kick this off with a little bit from me, and I want to talk about this season for Ryan Tannehill. And I think when you look at Ryan Tannehill and how he's viewed across the nation, he's a guy that's very replaceable to the national media. He's a guy that the Titans, if you could look, there were rumors. Now, they've said that, you know, none of those rumors leading to disbelief in Tannehill being the quarterback this year came out of the building, and I think they've kind of stuck to that because Tannehill is the starter, and he's been mentioned as the starter from the giddy-up, and that's something that Rand Carthon said, that Mike Vrabel and Tannehill, like, they've done a very good job of communicating that to him, making him understand where he stood. But, look, don't get it twisted. The future is now for Ryan Tannehill, and it's got to be a big year for him. Obviously, we know the four-year deal for $120 million that he signed is up. Like, this is the last year. There are avoidable years in the contract after this season. So this could possibly be the last time you get to see 17 in a Titans jersey, unless he goes out and he has a stellar year. I asked Tannehill about the approach. You know, this guy's 35 years old. He said he wants to play a lot more football. Obviously, this Nashville situation is one of the best for him. Here's Ryan Tannehill on the mindset approaching this season.
No, I mean, I'm excited to go attack this season. You know, we have an opportunity to get this thing going the right way. So, you know, that's my mindset right now, is do everything I can this week to go win this game, and you know, keep doing that as the weeks roll by, and we'll be in good shape.
But do you take, like, at all, like, a future is now kind of approach, you know, knowing everything, if that's at stake for you?
I mean, obviously it matters, right? It matters no matter where you're at in your career. So you got to take advantage of your opportunities when they come, and we know that this is a big opportunity and a big opportunity for myself.
So you notice how he said it doesn't change. And I think that's one of the really great qualities about Ryan Tannehill. You talk to anybody about him, they'll say this guy is never too high or too low. It's always the same. And that's something a lot of the players will say in the huddle, right? Tannehill has 25 game-winning drives. Like, he's right up there with, I think he's only behind Russell Wilson, I want to say, fourth quarter game-winning drives. I want to say Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins is up there too. I'm pretty sure that 25 is at the very minimum top five in current quarterbacks, active quarterbacks. So, look, that's something that a lot of his teammates, they say he has a calming presence because he doesn't let the moment get too big. And that's a tribute to his ability to just keep everything focused on what's in front of him and what they have to do. And that's what he has to do this year. When you look at just being able to function properly and be focused and dialed in while your replacement has been selected 2 years in a row, I think that's remarkable. I got to ask Will Levis about that because, you know, Tannehill has served as a mentor for Levis. Here's Levis on what he had to say with Ryan Tannehill and how the situation has been.
As far as like working with Ryan Tannehill, how has that process been for you, just getting to know him and actually looking at him as a mentor?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. It's I want to get my career to the spot that he's got his to, with the, you know, longevity and success. So there's a reason why he's gotten to the point that he's at, and I'm just trying to observe why that is and take as much details from him as I can.
Do you find it interesting that, you know, you got Malik next to you, and that you, back-to-back year, you guys were selected. He's the guy, but it's like, okay, my future replacement was selected back-to-back. Like, do you find that a unique situation?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. Like, it's crazy. Like, hopefully I'm in a spot one day where, you know, I'm in that position, and it's the tough things outside of your control that you can't let waver you. And I mean, I've been impressed with how Ryan's handled it. And I mean, even from the moment I got drafted, he was supporting me and you know, texted me and wanted to let me know that I was excited to work with me. So it's been nothing but great things with him so far.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the impressed part of it. Is it just the way that he's opened up and just embraced you and took you in?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just him being a good teammate, a good person. Just not that I expected anything different, but you never know how someone can be, or someone can respond to a situation like that. So
yeah,
he's been as professional as possible, and he's helped us a lot.
Okay, last thing. Coach London has said that he likes the quarterback room because it's competitive but not combative. When you hear that, what do you think of that phrase?
I think it's just kind of what I talked about with the relationship side of things. How we know that, you know, we're trying to win a building team and have a room that where whoever's asked to go out there and do the job, that they can succeed. But we all just, you know, we get along. We're dudes. I mean, if none of us play football, I feel like we'd all still be friends and get along. So it's special when you can have an environment like that in the meeting room.
I think that pretty much sums it up and lets you know where Tannehill is in the quarterback room as far as the ability to be the leader there, knowing that these are guys who are fighting not only to back you up but to eventually take your job. I tip my cap to Tannehill. Now, I wanted to get one last perspective, and former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky, who, as you know, is an ESPN NFL analyst, he played the position. Here's his take on Ryan Tannehill and how he could envision him approaching this year.
I say this, Ryan's been around the NFL long enough to know reality. You know, one of those two guys is their future in Tennessee, either Malik or Will. And we'll see who kind of takes that spot at some point. I think for Ryan, it's trying to kind of live in both worlds at the same time. You know, being so focused and so in the moment in Tennessee, because you're the quarterback, and he's got great relationships with those guys, and I'm sure he's got a great relationship with Vrabel, and he's got a young player in Traylon, and then he's getting to play with Hop. So, you know, living in that moment of, hey, I am the quarterback of this team, and these are my guys, and he comes across as that person that's capable of doing it. Also, while be aware that, like, dude, you probably want to play for another 6 years in the NFL or so. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of teams that need a starting quarterback next year. And so trying to go play as good and as high-level football as you can for everyone else. Imagine the mental challenge that is. You're trying to, you know, play for your teammates and play for every other team. You know? So it's as much as you kind of can be focused on that. That would kind of be the mindset that I would say he's probably living in. You know, when it comes to those two other guys, I think that the more he can go, I always say this is so individual, man. Like, go be a pro. If you want to help them as much as you can. We've all needed that in that league at some point. If it's your choice to not help them, it's your choice to not help them. My expectations, man. I've got concerns about the offensive line. I don't know how good that unit's going to be, and that's kind of the unwavering identity of that team. You know, I've said that for such a long time, that team, you know, with Derek, they never wavered from who they were, and I think that's going to have to deviate a little bit. Traylon's got to be healthy. You know, Hop's got to stay healthy, so there's some skill on the outside. I just don't know how much they could play to that identity that they want to, kind of given where the offensive line stands.
I love the fact that Orlovsky said you have to understand that you're not only playing for this one team, you're playing for 31 others, because he wants to play next year. Somebody's going to sign him, whether or not it's the Titans. I think it's really going to come down to a few things, right? The development of Levis and Willis, Malik Willis, and then also how well he does this season. So it's going to be pretty interesting watching it all play out. But this week, it's going to be a Titans and Saints matchup. And that Saints secondary, you know, I think we look at Alante Taylor. You look at Paulson Adebo. Those are solid corners. But it really comes down to Marshon Lattimore. And I asked Mike Vrabel about him, you know, and he talked about his toughness and the way that, you know, he's able to stay locked in, his physicality. And that's something that you see. Man, I tell you, you look at his battles with Mike Evans. I mean, those guys get it on. Mike Evans from the Bucks. I can't wait to watch Treylon Burks, watch DeAndre Hopkins. These are matchups that are going to be really fun to see, and the Titans are going to have to take advantage of that. I tell you one thing, they have to make sure that they go at Marshon Lattimore. You have to trust your guy over theirs, and I think that's when you have a guy like Hopkins, you know, you could do that. Treylon Burks also commented about his physicality. I asked Treylon a few things just in regards to his approach mentally, you know, after doing so much work and preparation for this season and how big it is. And he's another one. He said, look, it doesn't change. It does not change. But he's excited about the opportunity, and I don't blame him. Last year was a tough year for him. It was one that he would like to have been improved. But, you know, your best game, your next game is your best game. You know, that's how you have to approach it. Make that next opportunity the best one. And that's how he's looking at it. It's just when you look at this defense, right, DeMario Davis, you talk about just how solid they are at all levels, right? You got Cam Jordan. Carl Granderson is a up-and-coming pass rusher, right? You got those two guys up front. Second level, you're looking at, like I said, DeMario Davis, who's so good on third downs, whether it's coverage or blitzing. Then at the next level, the back end, Tyrann Mathieu is a guy. None of us are really talking about him, but he is someone that is still a game changer. And obviously we went over Marshon Lattimore. So we'll see how this whole matchup works. I think when you flip it to the other side of the ball, though, I think the Titans have the advantage. Now, that 32nd ranked passing defense will be tested. And you saw on Whiteboard Wednesday, we drew up how they could get Chris Olave the football after going across the middle multiple times to Michael Thomas, who's back, and that's big for them. I want to ask Kat Terrell, who covers the Saints. I want to ask her how things have gone with Thomas in camp and everything, and what it looks like he's going to be able to do. But I say Chris Olave, and he's a guy that's just a playmaker. Mike Vrabel was asked about him, and he pointed to how he turned to the outside on like a little 8-yard catch he had and took it like 30 yards for a long touchdown. Those are the things you got to rally to the football with him, with Michael Thomas. You know, Alvin Kamara is going to be out, but Jamal Williams is a tough running back. You know, this guy was one of the best as far as short yardage situations are concerned. So he'll look to continue that. I feel this defense, though, is too much. And I think when you look at Arden Key, who was back at practice on Wednesday, I think when you look at Harold Landry, who's returning from the knee injury that cost him the whole year, then you got Travis Gibson in the mix. You got a guy like Rashad Weaver. You got Denico Autry, who's obviously stand up as well as hand in the dirt. And I think that's what Gibson gives him also. So those are some options. But, man, Jeffrey Simmons. This could be a big game for Jeffrey Simmons. That matchup with Eric McCoy, that's probably the key matchup for me. You know, when you look at the Titans' defense versus the offense. But don't forget about their nickel package as well. The Titans are concerned. You'll see some Elijah Molden in it when they go big nickel, three safeties. You'll see Roger McCreary and also Christian Fulton. He's going home. You know, this is an opportunity for him to go back to the crib and play against a team that resides in his his city. You know what I mean? New Orleans Saints. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I know he's hyped up about that. And then that same thing could be said for Tajay Spears on the other side of the ball, who is excited as well. But overall, I think this is going to be a solid game. The Titans, they haven't really won too many games in the season opener. The last one, I believe, was the Browns game in 2019. So they definitely have a lot to make up for and get things right. Or no, excuse me, it was the Broncos game in the COVID year. The Broncos were they on the road at the Broncos. So their last two times winning, the season opener was on the road. Maybe this time things remain the same. We'll get into that in a little bit more as we switch over to Run TMC with Chris Sanders right after we pay these bills. What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here from my friends at Superbook Sports. Why bet with the big boys this football season? Instead, try your hand with the local book, Superbook Sports, this fall. Superbook Sports is the book next door, just a dedicated team of the best odd makers in Las Vegas, making sure you get the best prices and parlays anywhere. And now Superbook will give you a bonus of up to $250 when you sign up and wager on the same day and use the promo code TDInsider. So bet with the best and use the promo code TDInsider this football season with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
As the lights dim, the music fades, let's keep it going. And now, coming off the bench, starting at shooting guard for your Detroit Pistons, number 15, Vinny the Microwave Johnson.
And now, the award-winning singer, Phil the Singer.
That's just, man, terrible.
What's going on with you, man? You doing all right, man? What's the word?
Yeah, life is good, man. Get into this game week that we have coming up, and it's Sunday, and I tell you, a couple practices in the books.
Nice.
Just working. That's what we do, man. And I tell you, Treylon Burks is interesting.
Oh, and he is.
You see him ramping it up a little bit. Got to talk to him about the injury and some of the things he had going on. Sam Phelan from A to Z Sports. I tell you, I don't know if he went to a stayed at a Holiday Inn Express and got his doctor degree or what happened. But, you know, he was asking Burks some pretty detailed questions.
Yeah, wow.
And it was just in regards to the lateral movement, you know, how the LCL normally limits you and things like that, straight line speed. And Burks was like, man, I'm good. And then he was asked a little bit further about it. He was like, man, you got to have Vrabel answer that. I get it. You know,
he
wants to make sure that he doesn't give out any trade secrets. But in watching him in practice, he seems to be ramping up, not at full speed yet, but ramping up to get there.
Yeah, I think the concern a little bit about it is, it depends on the position that you're playing. If you're playing offensive line, you can kind of get away with it. If you're playing defenses, you can get away with it. But when you're playing wide receiver, TD, you got to start and stop at a fast pace.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. I understand he's doing drills. I understand that he's doing a little release. I understand everybody's excited about him catching a one-hand pass. But there's so many elements that come with being a wide receiver. What do you do at the line of scrimmage? How do you get the guy off the spot? Because you got to use quick feet and, you know, use your escaping ability. You got to stack him. You got to do all those things. You got to change directions. So I want to see how he actually does that, as opposed to just getting excited about him doing a couple of drills.
Yeah, that's really what it's going to come down to, just that suddenness and the instant change of movement that it takes. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, we'll get into him in a moment.
Yeah.
That guy's no joke, you know, and he's a very physical corner. There's a lot of the Ohio State cats over there that the Saints have on offense too. You know, Michael Thomas and Chris Olave. But I'm curious how that's going to work with Burks. But I wanted to ask you because, I mean, you played in the Astrodome. Now, obviously, it was the home part of it. But how did you see the noise
affect opposing offenses who are trying to function with all those decibels being hit?
I mean, it does. You got to remember, I played in Houston. You know, when I played in Houston, we played in the Astrodome. I mean, it was everything was closed in. But what you have to do is when you're playing, I don't think you focus on it that much, but I think that some of the struggles that you could have is listen to the audible, listen to the tag, understand, if he checks the play, that's the only thing. So I think that, you know, Tim Kelly's going to come up with some hand signals, because that's kind of like what me and Steve McNair did when we played, like, in Kansas City or places like that. They were exceptionally loud. So instead of having the verbal, I think you kind of do like, you know, you use your hand signals and come up with some things like that as opposed to actually screaming it out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at. Obviously, you know, during the while you're in, once the ball snapped, like that noise is funneled out.
Absolutely.
But while you're waiting for it to be snapped, you darn sure better be looking at the ball, right?
Yes,
because you can't go on the cadence because you probably won't hear it. But then, as you mentioned, the communication side of it. I thought Mike Vrabel said something that was interesting to me when – I asked him about that, you know, talking without actually talking.
Yeah.
And he mentioned on punt team and how, you know, the guys are on the end there, like they have to be able to get back into their set and you're not always going to hear the snap, right?
Absolutely.
How it was, he mentioned the second game, his recall is impressive.
He
mentioned the second game of last year, the Bucks versus the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that there were some of the guys on punt team on the end who were having trouble getting off as quick as they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't give up a block, but it still was impacting. You know, they gave up a solid rush.
Right.
Thought that was interesting. You mentioned the process of you and McNair coming up with hand signals. Now, Ryan Tannehill, DeAndre Hopkins, and those guys, do you think that's something that is going to be different this week as opposed to other times? Like, is that something that changes from week to week?
Yeah, it does change from week to week because it depends on where you're playing, and you kind of alluded to that. But Titi, here's the most important person on the field is the center.
Yeah.
He's the most important. Because the thing about it is, him and the quarterback got to be on the same page because he can't be hiking if he can't hear. So, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are starting to do the clap. So maybe it's on the third or fourth clap he can get the snap. But now I want to switch gears and talk about the wide receiver position. You know, we'll call a play in the play and say, okay, split right, 360 sliver, or 360, whatever it is. If it's a run, check with me. And then the thing about it is, I wouldn't hear his mouth, but Steve McNair would like wiggle his fingers, kind of throw up the alpha sign. That means we're checking to the second play. So when they check it to the second play, that means I'm running the second play. But if he doesn't give me the signal, we're running the play that was called in the huddle.
That's pretty detailed. I like that. It's crazy how those things work. When you look at this offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Saints, now it's different because David Onyemata is not there anymore.
Right.
So, you know, there's some new players, but Cam Jordan is still there. DeMario Davis is still there. Tyrann Mathieu is still there. It's going to be tough to run the football. How do you think the Titans approach this week?
I think they're going to pass the ball. This is just my opinion, because the thing about it is, if you look at just like what you said, they're good at stopping the run. They're good at being physical at the line of scrimmage. We talk about Cameron Jordan and guys like that. I think we can take care of the secondary, because if you look at what's going on in the secondary, I think Lattimore is probably going to be on Hopkins. It all depends on what Treylon Burks does. If Treylon Burks is there, then it may switch. Then now it opens it up for different guys like NWI, Chig, Josh Wiley, all those guys. And then another guy that can even help in the passing game is Spears.
Mm-hmm.
You can get him and run him, have him, you know, flake him out, run a little bubble, get the ball in his hands, whatever it is. I just think that you got to be smart on what you do and get the ball in the air.
How important will it be to game plan and scheme a lot of quicker things? Because you mentioned Cam Jordan, right?
You know,
he's set. He'll probably be matched up against Chris Hubbard.
Ooh.
And I think that's advantage Saints.
You got to get the ball that quick. I mean, you really have to do it. And I think when you're talking about a guy that has that type of motor, TD, is you got to get him tired. Make him run side to side. Throw some quick screens to where he's got to run down the receiver or run down the running back and get him tired. And then after you do that, then run straight at him. And I think that will kind of stop, you know, that bull rush that he has.
Okay, so you're saying run straight at him. That'll slow down his pass rush. No.
I'm talking about after you ran three or four screens. I'm not talking about the beginning of the game and go at him.
I know. I'm saying.
Just to get him tired, because you got to remember, and this makes me think also too that, you know, a lot of these guys are still not in game shape. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
how many games did they play in the preseason? They haven't played that many in preseason. So what you do, make him go side to side. Make him chase down the running back. Make him chase down the wide receiver. Then just like what we talked about, now run straight at him to where he can't have that bull rush. You know, you got blockers coming at him. You got all these things that are coming at him. Then he's not going to be physically be able to do it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think that's some things you can possibly do.
Yeah, offensive linemen, and they always like to be able to fire off and go get the defender instead of catching the defender coming for them. So they'll be glad to run the football. Do you have any concerns about the offensive line?
Just a little. I mean, the reason why I say a little is because they haven't played together that much. I mean, I know they did it in camp. I know they did in OTAs, but you're talking about different people that came from different situations. I mean, you got Dillard that came from Philly. You got, you know, you got Brunsky that came from the 49ers. You got Skowronski that, you know, that got drafted in the first round. So they're still not familiar with playing in an NFL game together. And the thing about it is you got to make sure everybody's in sync on the offensive line. You got Brewer that's the, you know, the captain of that offensive line. So everybody's got to be in sync. But the way you be in sync is being familiar with each other because you play together. This is the first year that these guys have actually played together, and that's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about.
Now, what about Marshon Lattimore? How do you approach a corner like that? I mean, he likes to get up in your face and get physical. What's the approach to him?
You know what? And I'm trying to be as nice as I can. But I'm a kind of cat that I'm going at you. I'm sorry. I mean, when I went against Deion Sanders, I was nervous. I was kind of terrified. But I wanted to show them that I can beat Deion Sanders. I mean, even when I went against Dale Carter my rookie season, everybody was telling me how big he was. Everybody was telling me how he was a technician. Everybody was telling me all this stuff. I got sick of it. I got tired of all that stuff. How dare you come up and press me? How dare you try to get in my mustache and to keep me from catching touchdowns? So here's what I did is I studied him. I said, okay, what's his tendencies? What does he do? Where does he quick jam? What is he looking at? Get some keys that I can beat him. So what I did with Dale Carter is I took my – we didn't have CDs back in the day. We had DVDs, VHS and Betamaxes. I took that Betamax home, and I had a Betamax machine. And I studied it. I rewinded over and over and over and over again. And you know what I learned? I said, okay, this is how I'm going to attack him. I know he waits for you to make your last move, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to just go, and I'm going to score a touchdown. That's exactly what you got to do with Lattimore. Burks, Hopkins, NWI, you know, Kyrus Jackson, go home, study him, find out his tendency, and say, Coach, I can beat this guy, and I think they probably can.
He's a very emotional corner.
Very.
Right? You very. Look at that with Mike Evans and the Bucks. You know, they took themselves out of the game because they couldn't stop fighting. How much do you get into, if you're Hopkins, you know, how much do you get into that aspect of, like, is he someone you try to get into his head? Like, make him mad? You think he plays better upset?
Yeah, he does. Well, who's that guy that used to play for the Broncos that was real crazy?
Oh, Aqib Talib.
Oh,
Chain Snatcher.
Yeah. I mean, then you think about it, you got to make sure that it doesn't start to become about you and him. Yeah. That's when the problem is. I mean, when you start making it about you and him, then you made it a personal battle, and then that's when the personal foul comes. Don't get me wrong. When I came in as a rookie, I was talking trash. I'm talking about people's mamas that they got a unibrow and a mustache. I mean, I'm talking crazy. But what I had to do is I had to say, okay, you know what? I got to keep it in the compounds of what I need to do and running routes and not make it a personal battle, but also make it a team battle.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on this game coming up? Bold prediction or anything like that?
I just think we're the better team. I mean, I think if we rattle Derek Carr and start Jamal Williams, who's a flat-out monster. I mean, that took had 17 TDs last year.
Yeah.
You know, over 1,000 yards. I mean, the guy is a playmaker. But I think that we just have too much for them on defense for the Saints to do anything. I mean, that defense is nasty. You got Simmons, you got Arden Key, you got Archery, you got Weaver, who's playing at an incredible level. You got a secondary just playing together as a unit. So I just think that, you know, we're going to stop him, and I think we're going to try to score some points.
There you have it right there. You want the
Hold on. I got something to say.
But what about the score prediction? I was going to say, if they want that, they could tune into the award-winning pregame show on 102.5 The Game.
Let's go. I'm going to say Tennessee Titans
Well, see, I was telling them they got to tune into that to get
the
prediction.
Oh, they got to tune into that? Okay, well,
oh, yeah, that's what we call a teaser.
But I got to let them know what I saw yesterday. Can I let the folks know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Man, I was watching The Love Boat. And as me and my daughter was watching The Love Boat, it was this this guy that was, you know, making drinks for everybody, and his name was Isaac. And my daughter was like, "Dad, you know, is that TD? I didn't know he was an actor." I was like, "No, baby, that's Isaac from The Love Boat."
And you always say, you get up in their mustache, and Isaac's mustache is one you can't miss.
This is Aziz Oshar, and I'm talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. You hear that, Kevin Gates? Yeah. He's a Louisiana, New Orleans native, so it's only right he brings us in. And what we're going to do now is go to the Big Easy, bring in ESPN NFL Nation Saints reporter, Kat Terrell. Kat, we appreciate you coming on.
It's really great that, you know, we get to start the season here. Got a really big game coming up, so I'll start it with this. Obviously, Michael Thomas, and you wrote about this, and he's going to be back. How much does his return mean to the Saints, and what can be expected from him?
Yeah, the whole Michael Thomas usage conundrum, I guess, is interesting because I feel like the Saints have said multiple times this offseason that they're going to try to be an offense that spreads the ball around a lot. And I feel like every team probably says that in some way, but that actually used to be the Saints' bread and butter before Michael Thomas came around. And then when he was at his best, everything changed, and he was basically their only reliable pass catcher. So now they've got a bunch of new faces. You know, they have Chris Olave, they have Rashid Shaheed, and Thomas really doesn't have to be the guy anymore. And I think they had to do that because there was a couple years where they thought he was going to play. He got hurt, and they kind of had to scramble. So it kind of feels like he's just going to be, one part of the offense. But, man, if he can get anywhere back to what he used to be, then he could have a really good season. I just think it's probably going to take some time with him, considering he really hasn't played much in 3 years.
Yeah, looking at some of the preseason games, I saw he played 12 snaps in one, like 13 in the other. How has he looked in training camp, though, just in the practices? Apparently, he is someone that's rounding back into shape.
Yeah, I definitely think it took a while in training camp for him to start looking kind of consistently like the old Michael Thomas. And maybe that took until around the time they had joint practices with the Chargers. So that was a few weeks ago. I think that, you know, as I said, it's going to take some time. But, you know, last year he was also coming off an injury. He gets into the regular season, and then he had 2 touchdowns in 3 games before he got hurt. So, you know, maybe he'll surprise us. But I think every day has kind of been, you know, up and down for him. But if he can stay healthy, I definitely think that there's a chance he can be a big contributor to this team.
And then you mentioned some of the other guys, and I keep hearing about Rashid Shaheed, and I watched how they tried to get him involved a bit towards the tail end of last year. What is the big deal with him?
Yeah, he's someone that I think fans should be excited about. Last year he was coming in off an injury. He was an undrafted rookie. No one really knew about him because of the injury, so he spent most of training camp trying to come back from that. And then at that point, they had to ease him in. They basically only had him play one position. And he comes in, and I might have the number wrong, but I think he was averaging like 17.3 yards per catch or something crazy. Basically the second he actually got in the game. So, you know, this year there was another injury in training camp, but not as big of a deal. He said he's learning all the positions, and he's really fast. Like, his whole family is full of track superstars. Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually wrote a piece for ESPN.com about it a few weeks ago. So his speed is his main thing, but I'm so curious to see how he participates and how much they use him now that they're theoretically going to move him around the field.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting seeing that. And it's funny, we're talking Saints and
You know, I didn't even get to Derek Carr, and that's obviously the biggest story. So let's get into that. How has he gotten acclimated to the team? Is he really the leader that, you know, a lot of people have said that they saw out there in Oakland / Las Vegas?
Yeah, I absolutely think the play of Derek Carr is going to make or break this team. When they signed him, it was a big deal. You know, they signed him to a $150 million contract. And that right there alone says, you know, we're expecting a lot out of you, and as they should. You know, he's been in the NFL a long time. The Saints have been kind of trying to figure out their identity at quarterback ever since Drew Brees retired. They re-signed Jameis Winston last year, but they never seemed all in on that. It seems like they kind of did it because they didn't have any other options. You fast forward a year later, and it seems like, okay, Carr's our guy. And I honestly think that he really has fit well with this team. I think that he says he is having fun again playing football. The other players seem to really respect him. He didn't play much in preseason, but the one drive that he did, they ended in a touchdown. He did spread the ball around. He looked great. Of course, none of that matters if he doesn't play well week one. But I do think that this is a big upgrade at quarterback. And, you know, Dennis Allen was able to go get the guy he wanted, and they've obviously been together before with the Raiders. So if the Saints don't play well this year, there's really no excuses left for Dennis Allen, I feel like. It's totally his team now.
Yeah, we're talking to Kat Terrell, ESPN NFL Nation Saints reporter. We are here at Titans practice, so you hear a little bit of that background music as they're getting ready to get going. I want to look at the running back situation too. Jamal Williams is another newcomer, but a guy that's not going to be around is Alvin Kamara. What does his loss mean to that offense?
Well, that's a huge loss. There's no question about that. I think everyone probably kind of feels, or everyone around the team probably feels relieved it's not more than three games, because, you know, Kamara is a big part of the passing game. At least he used to be. That's dropped off in the last 2 years, but in training camp they've made this big concerted effort to make him part of the passing game again. I mean, he used to catch 80 passes a season. And I don't know if that'll happen again this year, but I think that they would like that to happen. He really is a great contrast with Jamal. You know, one's a power runner, as I said. One kind of can do everything. And I think that they'll be okay without him. But, I mean, it definitely hurts, especially because the depth of running back has gone from really good depth to very questionable now that rookie Kendre Miller is dealing with a hamstring injury. Don't know if he'll play. So that definitely puts them pretty shorthanded when a few weeks ago that wasn't the case. But, you know, Jamal Williams had 17 touchdowns last year. So he's definitely a pretty worthy backup. Yeah. If you even want to call him a backup. I think that's kind of more of a running back by committee, if that's even the right term for how they'll use the both of them.
Yeah, that guy, he's something else. I'm sure you have stories from interacting with him so far. Flipping it to the other side of defense, I saw you wrote about Marshon Lattimore and his situation. Is it safe to say he's a full go? Everything's going to be good for him on Sunday?
Yeah, so what happened was in joint practices with the Chargers, apparently he felt some tweak in his knee. He didn't leave practice, but he did stand off to the side and watch the rest. That was a few weeks ago. At the time, Dennis Allen said it wasn't a huge deal, but it did kind of drag on for a bit. He returned to practice on Monday, so it seems like he's good to go. I don't know if that's something that he's going to be dealing with for a while. But they're proceeding as if he's good to go. And, man, he is such an important part of that defense. They only had him for 7 games last year, and you could tell the difference. And as soon as he came back towards the end of the season, he made an immediate difference in their win against the Eagles. So, yeah, I mean, he's basically their lockdown corner. It's kind of questionable who's going to primarily to be playing on the other side of him. I mean, it's supposed to be Paulson Debo, but Lonte Taylor could move around a bit. They're kind of trying to make him the new slot guy. So right now, my rambling answer is he's supposedly good to go.
Well, that's good news for them. That matchup with Lattimore and DeAndre Hopkins is going to be must-see TV. Let's talk about the pass rush real quick. When you look at, you know, Cam Jordan, obviously he's the focal piece, but, you know, I remember Carl Granderson coming out, and he was impressive coming out. I know he's a pretty solid pass rusher, but what can you expect from the pass rush, especially in this game?
I think that it's going to be a question mark this year. Cam is 33 years old, just signed a new contract with the Saints, you know, wants to retire there. He did have 8.5 sacks last year, but, you know, at some point it's like, well, when is the drop-off going to be? What they would love is if former first-round pick Peyton Turner was the one next to him that, you know, could be the next Cam Jordan, but it's, you know, been a few years and we haven't seen that yet, mostly because of injuries and things like that, but I think they're really hoping for that. You mentioned Granderson. I do think that Granderson is still ahead of Turner. I think he'll be the primary guy outside of Jordan. He's a guy that has improved every year. I think he took a big leap at the end of last year, which was probably pretty timely because Marcus Davenport left in free agency. He's kind of been a role player to this point, but, you know, he has had 2 years where he had 5 sacks. So this is a year five. I say year five with a question mark since he came on late in the 2019 season due to his off-the-field issues. But, yeah, they do need someone to step up.
When you look at this matchup, what do you think is the biggest threat that the Titans pose for the Saints this weekend?
I think one of the most important things to watch in this game is how does left tackle Trevor Penning handle the Titans' pass rush. He was a first-round pick last year. He got injured twice at 2 different parts of the season. This year, they've made it clear. You know, he is our left tackle. They moved James Hurst, who had been playing left tackle, inside to guard, replacing Andres Pete at left guard. Andres Pete's still there, but, you know, Penning has a big task ahead of him, and this game is going to determine, I think, you know, is he ready to be the franchise left tackle? So I'm going to be watching that a lot. You know, he says he's ready for it. He's a pretty calm guy in interviews. But if anyone paid attention to Saints training camp last year, I think they know he's not mild-mannered on the field. He's caused a lot of fights, but the Saints love that. They love that fire. You know, maybe I'm just a football nerd, but left tackle spot is one I'm going to be looking at a lot during that game.
That's it right there. That's a good point. As far as the Saints are concerned, if you had to pick their biggest area of strength, what would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I mean, I would have said running backs a few weeks ago, but obviously, as we talked about, a little iffy right now. You know, I think that if Lattimore is healthy, that secondary can be one of their biggest strengths. I think Marcus May played a lot better at the end of last year at safety than he did at the beginning of the year. You got Tyrann Mathieu. I think that, you know, Lattimore can be a game changer. So I haven't gotten to see him play a whole season, and what feels like a while, but I think the secondary can be a big point of strength for the Saints.
There you have it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kat Terrell, ESPN NFL Nation Saints reporter. Go ahead and let them know where they can follow you and keep up with the Saints this week.
You can follow me at Kat_Terrell on Twitter and at ESPN.com.
That's it right there. Check her out. Appreciate you, Kat. See you Sunday.
Thanks for having me on.
So that was Kat Terrell, ESPN NFL Nation Saints reporter. Definitely appreciate her stopping by. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on too. Run TMC is always fun. David James making this thing happen. Before we get out of here, definitely want to give a shout out to the Titans captains, right? They named 7 captains. You got Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Aaron Brewer, Kevin Byard. You got Morgan Cox, Azeez Alshire, and none other than Jeffrey Simmons. 7 captains. All 3 phases of the game represented. Great thing for them. And there's a lot to look forward to with this season coming. Make sure you guys check out Whiteboard Wednesday. You see that on ESPN.com or my Twitter page, my IG. It's on there. Make sure you check those out. And just continue to rock with me. I appreciate each of you that do that. Definitely check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.